6:01 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, with all due respect, is coming up in a moment. You can send your text in to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to with all due respect, if you're a parent, at some point you've probably dealt with children who are afraid of the dark. Normally, they grow out of it quickly and get on with their life after realizing the monsters under their bed don't really exist. Unfortunately, that's not the case with everyone. On Sarah Spain's That's What She Said podcast, Davis opened up about his fear of the dark. Which Davis? We don't know. TV on, bathroom light on, some light on, something has to be on when he goes to bed. I wish I wasn't scared of the dark. I watched too many crazy movies when I was a kid, and it messed me up for life. That's a problem.
Wait, scared of the dark?
What's going on here?
Somebody's afraid of the dark.
My son, he's six. He cool.
He doesn't have any problem with that?
Not really. I mean, he likes to have his night lights and make sure that they're there. Why would you continue to watch these movies if, in fact, they're going to get you to this point? Like, I know
this
for
is
me,
Anthony Davis, by the way, the Lakers star.
I know for me. I mean, I don't love scary movies. They don't give me nightmares or anything, but I just don't dig in. Why are you going to do that if you got to keep all your lights on? Doesn't make sense to me. That's
all
I'm
saying. You'd think that he wouldn't be afraid of anything, right?
He's a big fella, 6'10".
Yep. Can defend himself, I'm sure.
You know what? Yeah. Honestly, people who possess you, though, they care very little how
tall
you are.
That is a great point. But it's not really about the monster. That's the ghost you got to worry about.
Ghost?
I don't like ghosts.
And Chucky doesn't care how tall you are either. And he still scares me.
I feel like I could kick Chucky's ass.
Terrifying.
Guys, a New Zealand women's group is asking sports authorities to stop what they say is unfair competition after transgender weightlifter Laura Hubbard won the gold at the Pacific Games. Hubbard had competed in men's weightlifting competitions in New Zealand before she transitioned and was able to win the ladies' competition. With all due respect, if you lift the most, you win the medal.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. Yeah. That's an asterisk next to that.
Them's
one.
The rules.
Yeah, I'm fine with everybody being who you are, but you can't just be taking people's records. Like, I was doing this legit, and you were a men power lifter a couple weeks ago.
And then it changed.
And now you're deadlifting a house. Good for you. Yeah.
The only thing I took from that story is I thought sports authorities was closed.
It is.
Yeah, well, it says
sports authority. Yeah, they asked sports authority to stop what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, what's sports authority doing wrong? They're not even in business anymore.
That's right.
So we've spent a lot of time here talking about the trade deadline, and we got about less than 24 hours at this point. Exciting time, certainly around baseball. We did talk to Tim Kirkjian earlier, who said GMs, are patient. They'll sit on their prospects, and they're smart. With all due respect, I think that we should put all the GMs in baseball in a bar together. They have to take a shot every 20 minutes until a bunch of deals are made.
And it's got to be televised.
And no computers, by the way. Nobody gets to have their computers. You can have whatever notes you brought with you, just so you know who your players are at the end of the night. But, no computers, no nothing.
I like it. Cameras and everything.
Yeah.
We get to watch the whole process.
Break it down at the bar, old school style.
Hell yes, I'm in. Count me
in. Great idea.
With all due respect.
Speaking of that trade deadline coming up less than 24 hours, Ken Rosenthal tweeting just a few moments ago that the Reds are among teams talking to Cleveland about Trevor Bauer. They've Taylor Trammell is one of their top prospects, who is a possibility, even though he's regressed this season, a 688 OPS. That's being talked about as a potential return for Trevor Bauer. With all due respect to Cleveland, unless Bauer is just absolutely miserable and can't get along with anybody, trading him makes no sense. You're in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah. And you're getting Kluber back.
You're getting Kluber back. How about that rotation in a postseason?
Bieber's really good. Clevenger's solid.
Hell,
you
don't
even have Carrasco.
Yeah.
Damn, Amazing. Man. That's what wins you a postseason.
Yep. That's right. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
On the Trevor Bauer topic, we talk about wanting more emotion and personality from MLB players. With all due respect, why is Bauer being fined then?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No.
You can't just chuck a baseball into the stands.
It was funny, But you can't do it.
I don't even know if it was funny. I mean, I guess from where we're sitting, it was funny.
Unbelievable.
Terry Francona coming out of the dugout probably that didn't look too funny.
That was kind of, that was my favorite part. What he was the pissed. What is the wrong with you?
It's, you know what it is? It's just like I said earlier. It's the kind of thing that's hilarious when it's not your team's problem.
Yeah.
It was funny to me.
Ronge talked about kicking Chucky, being able to kick Chucky.
Oh, yeah, I'll kill Chucky.
BT, with all due respect, Chucky is the size of a puppy.
Yeah, a relentless puppy that continues to come back over and over and over again. Oh, we burned it. I think Chucky's dead this time. Not so much. And Chucky comes back, and then he's got a wife that comes with him, too, and she's a bat out of hell. Like, overall, Chucky's relentless. So that terrifies me more, is that something that small I can't see coming then all of a sudden creeps up on your bed with a big old knife. What are you going to do with that? You're going to kick it? Great, it comes back. Like, that's not cool.
You got to put it in a cage.
No, it doesn't work.
Put it in a lead cage.
Every time you think you kill Chucky, he comes back.
Yep.
Every time.
What I'd really be worried about is them spirits. You know, people are worried about them aliens. They want to go see them aliens.
Yeah.
I'd be worried about the spirit because you can't see it, first of all. And then the next thing you know, you just start feeling weird. That's because it's...
inside you.
Yeah, it's inside you. Yeah. Not in a great way. It's just inside you. And it's
how does it go inside you? Does it just like
I think it just absorbs.
Chest?
Yeah, I think it just... Yeah. Osmosis. And then you're possessed, and then you have a bad night.
But do you remember them?
Oh, yeah. You know there's something wrong with you. It's not like they just take over your life for a few days, and then you come back and go, what happened? Like, you know what's going on. You don't want that.
With all due respect, how is Fitzmagic still finding starting quarterback gigs?
Because he's magic.
And he's smart. Dude, smart guy, great leader, knows, and great beard, Randy, and I should have really led with that. But he's a guy that knows offenses inside and out, and he's a guy that a head coach knows and an OC knows that he can trust them. Is he going to win you a bunch of games with his arm talent? Probably not, but he's not going to lose you a bunch of games either by being reckless and stupid out there. Guy's made a hell of a living.
Yep.
I'd go with Rosen, though.
I think I would, too.
I think there's more upside there.
Once you fix your offensive line with your new offensive line coach.
Just firing people.
With all due respect, if Tommy Pham had not called out the Cardinals in Sports Illustrated, he would have not been traded, and the Cards would have a 7-game division lead right now.
I don't know about the second half of that. The first half might be right, though. He didn't come out and say he's the best mop on the team.
But they knew that he had made that phone call.
Yeah. That was a bad look.
Yeah.
Honest.
A little too honest.
Too honest. There's such a thing. We always say honesty is the best policy, but there are some things that you should just keep close to the vest, and maybe just people in your inner circle, not Sports Illustrated, need to know about them, you know?
And all of us.
Thought we were in the trust tree.
I'd be happy to have him right now, though.
Oh, me too.
I cannot confirm that this is from a local Mexican food establishment, but with all due respect, it would be nice if Ronji was still on vacation.
He's on vacation. You know, we didn't get any correspondence from them yesterday, which is random, because that's usually a go-to of theirs.
Out of business, maybe?
I don't think so. They're still thriving.
I think they have multiple locations.
Really?
Yeah.
You can thrive with dysentery?
I don't know, man. That's good stuff.
I guess.
And with all due respect, I was hoping to add Syndergaard, Ray, Will Smith, Whit Merrifield, two ushers, and a beer vendor to be named later at the deadline.
Tell you what, you get a couple of ushers, you can dance, man. Usher's got some moves. He can sing, too.
Two ushers, though.
I don't know how you do that. I don't know if he's got a brother.
Yeah. Still have 22 hours and 49 minutes to do that.
I think you get a chance to pull off a lot of those things. Where does Syndergaard end up?
San Diego.
Mets.
They're not going to give up Mackenzie Gore, though. Like, that's their
But they'll
their
work
guy.
A deal.
I'd like to see him there. I'd like to see the Padres be really good.
If I were the Mets, I would keep all three. I'm with you, Ronge. If you had DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman as your top three, it's a good way to start building a team.
They've got young pieces. They could make it happen if they wanted to. It's just that I don't trust the Wilpons to do anything.
I don't either.
That's the problem. Yep.
Thanks very much for your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Coming up, Do the Cardinals feel any more pressure because they've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row? We'll hear from the Cardinal GM, Mike Gersh, about that and more next on 101 ESPN. Before we get to Mike Gersh, the Memphis Redbirds are playing Albuquerque tonight, and Marcell Ozuna is in their lineup. There is no Marp, and there is no Bader. It's Max Schrock. Ramon Urias is at first, and Ozuna in left. And then Edmundo Sosa, their cleanup hitter, is at short. They have Adolis Garcia in center field tonight. Justin Williams is actually playing in right field, so that's good. Good news. Joe Hudson behind the plate. Kramer Robertson is at second. And somebody named Harold Arauz, A-R-A-U-Z, is the Memphis pitcher tonight.
Well, that's news to me on that one. Carpenter, you think mental day or rest day, just do some rehab? And
yeah, maybe after last night playing in Springfield, maybe just
makes sense.
Taking a day off.
Yeah, take a travel day. Maybe come hang out here for a day.
He might have.
What if he doesn't feel good?
Oh, he'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah, he cool.
Yeah, he'll be
0 for 19, though. Not great.
That's not cool.
Michael Gersh spoke to the media today, and the Cardinals yesterday picked up Zach Roscup from the Dodgers in a trade, and he will be at Memphis. Today, they claimed Adalberto Mejia off of waivers from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and he was asked, Michael Gersh was asked, if these moves were made because the Cardinals feared what might be available on the trade market.
It's not so much about what the asking price is. It's just the uncertainty whether we're going to be able to make a move. And we know these are two moves that we know we can make now. They don't in any way affect whether we make a move in the next 24 hours. I mean, if we can make a move to land someone that we're excited about, we will. Regardless of what we've done, you know, with these two players. But at the same time, we didn't want to pass up on these opportunities and then get to the trade deadline and have done nothing. So it's just a way to add some depth on the left side.
So you've got a guy that you picked up yesterday that's on his fourth organization of the year, and another guy that was waived by the Angels. And you look at those guys as upgrades for your organization.
Well, the Adalberto Mejia one was kind of one of those roster crunches where he had to throw three innings in a extra inning ball game, and then they're like, we need some help right now. So he was kind of an odd man out. Not to say, look, if he was the piece that the missing link, I'm quite sure that the Angels would have hung on to him and found somebody else to make this move with. But it still makes what he said is exactly what we were speculating off the top, is these are no-risk moves.
Yeah.
You just acquire pieces. There's nothing to say that the Cardinals can't make a move in the next, until the trade deadline, and one of those guys is gone and off the roster that you just picked up. Who cares? But you're at least providing yourself a little bit of flexibility. And right now, when you don't have options from the left side that you like, well, at least you have a couple more to try out.
Look, but we get a text that Marp is at third for Springfield tonight, so he hasn't moved
on
to Memphis yet.
There you go. Look, that's I get it, and I think that sometimes when you acquire a reliever in the middle of the season, it's not totally unusual for that guy to come up and pitch well for a couple of months. It's not the kind of move that gets anybody excited, and I think we were all kind of looking for that. We were looking for something that you really know was going to make an impact for sure, not something that hopefully can give them something. I understand his mindset, and that is we can't get through this entire process and not acquire anything at all, so let's at least do this. But I can totally understand why people are underwhelmed by it, because I'm underwhelmed, and
I think we
all are. Yeah.
Now,
but
it's
not to say it's over, because tomorrow is
still 20
the deadline.
Something hours. We mentioned Ozuna at Memphis tonight and Marp at third. What's the latest on those two?
So Carp's going to stay in on a rehab for a while longer. He's trying to work on his stuff. He's trying to find his swing. Yeah, he wants to get figured out before he comes up here too. And so he will transition to Memphis. I believe it's after tonight's game. Springfield has an off day, so he'll then transition to Memphis for the weekend. And, you know, he's at the point where if things click at some point, he could be up here quickly. But there's no definitive timetable. Ozuna will start. I mean, he's going to get probably three at bats today and play five innings, sort of like the first time you go out at the start of spring training. Things go well, he'll do that again. Things go well, he'll progress from there. I don't know what date you just said, but I don't know that we should think it's going to be in 3 or 4 days. But it's hopefully going to be quickly. But again, it depends on how his hand feels and how he looks when he gets out there.
And the Cardinals do have an off day on Friday. And it was my thought process that Marcel wanted to come back with the Cardinals on Saturday in Oakland.
Yeah, which would be great if he's able to come back that quickly and be fine, good to go. If the fingers are feeling good, then you want him back. He was your hottest hitter. So you couple him in the lineup with Paul Goldschmidt, who's heated up. That's a great thing. It's not shocking, and I think we already knew it, with Matt Carpenter. He's healthy. He just ain't right yet. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to find his swing, and he's got to be able to work on things. And I do think that they're, you know, credit to Matt Carpenter for actually doing that. Because he could try to force his hand, just be like, no, I'm good, and I'm going to come back. And they might have to just kind of do it. He's not doing that. He wants to get figured out. Also, he wants to be a factor down the wire for the Cardinals. Now, will it happen? I don't know. But at least he's provided a little bit more time to get reps, to get ABs, when it doesn't really matter.
I know this. It sure would be nice to get that old Matt Carpenter on base percentage in that lineup, whether he's hitting first or somewhere down in the order, ideally back at the top, hitting in front of Goldschmidt, hitting in front of Ozuna when he finally comes back. It would be great to get somebody on base in front of those guys. And for an offense that has been clicking really well over the last couple of weeks, you'd like to see that addition, but who knows if he's ever going to find that again this year.
As we know, the Cardinals have missed the playoffs three straight years, and during the offseason, they talked about the importance of making the playoffs in 2019. Does missing those 3 years of the postseason change the Cardinals' approach or factor into decisions that are made before the 3 p.m. deadline tomorrow?
What we're trying to do, what every contender is trying to do, is weigh the value of wins in 2019 versus wins in 2021, 2, and 3, right? And that equation varies for a lot of reasons. Like, look, we're in a good spot in that we are fighting for a division, not just for a wild card, right? That puts us in a different spot than some other teams who are in. There's no magic formula. Like, there's no, like, you know, X times 2 makes the, you know, it's somewhat feel, but our mission is to feel the playoff caliber team every year, and that means you can't give away 2021, 22, and 23 blindly in pursuit of 2019. There has to be a rational approach to this, and that's what we're trying to do. Like, we want to help this team. We want to make a move, but we're not. We can't force it to happen.
I think you can be rational and still be aggressive.
I think so, too. I still think that there can be a sense of urgency. You can look at this ball club and see a glaring need. And again, to me, the glaring need is within the rotation. I don't think that you can let the trade deadline pass and let that glaring need still sit there. To me, that is being way too passive. And in a division that is very winnable, I think that punting at this point would be a very bad look.
I would agree with that. I think there was a time about a week or two ago where the way they were playing, and it was before they went on this really good run here and made up quite a bit of ground, actually, against the Cubs and the Brewers. There was a time where I thought, I don't really want to lose future assets for this team to make the 2019 season better. Certainly, I don't want any I don't want any rentals here. If you're going to give up any real, true future assets for that, I don't think that this was a good enough time to do it. But now the division has just nobody separated themselves from anyone else. The Brewers haven't done it. Certainly the Cubs haven't done it yet. Maybe that changes after this series a little bit. I don't know. But I would like to see them make their position for this year better. And getting into the playoffs, that may be the thing that you need to do here. Because if you do that, who the hell knows what happens?
For Gersh and Moe, has there been any possibility of a deal that has gotten them excited?
Over the course of today, I've been optimistic at times that we are making progress, and then sometimes the next phone call or the next message is less optimistic. I think I'm somewhat optimistic that the market hasn't, like, opened up yet. Like, the industry hasn't found the right sales price for all the stuff that's out there. So I'm hopeful that at some point we can find that right price and make the moves that we're trying to make. But it's hard to be optimistic at every moment of the day because it varies by every conversation.
Randy, that kind of coincides with exactly what Ned Colletti was talking to us about earlier. Former GM, he's been around the block many a times. He's made deals. And his point was, if you're a seller, you wait. You continue to wait until somebody ponies up that extra prospect, until the last minute. Ned Colletti did speculate. He thinks the last couple of hours of the trade deadline, you'll see a lot of activity, and it makes a lot of sense. To me, by the way, and off topic a tiny bit, it makes it all that more puzzling that the Blue Jays shipped off Stroman as quickly as they did.
Yeah.
Why not wait? Like, why not continue to just find out what you might be able to get? I guess that they just found a deal that they liked. But I guess it is hard at this point for any GM. This isn't just for Gersh. It's for anybody to be too excited about something because you don't really know what the landscape is going to look like.
Unless you're just totally in salary dump mode and you don't care what you get back except you're getting rid of a contract. But how often does that really happen anymore where you're dumping an entire long a wealthy contract and not getting much in return? That just doesn't happen anymore because teams don't want to take them on.
We had heard earlier a couple of national reports that the Astros were talking to San Francisco about a Bumgarner deal. Bruce Jenkins, longtime of the San Francisco Chronicle, tweeting, "I've got a no on a Bumgarner deal, yes on Will Smith." And Henry Schulman, the beat writer for the Giants, just tweets, "Same." So they're hearing no on Bumgarner, but Will Smith probably will get moved by the deadline tomorrow. The Cubs and the Cardinals, Cardinals are just under an hour away. Do you know the Cubs are Cardinals?
What?
I guess you know what? They're two in the same. Yeah. Tied for first place.
Yeah, you had Jason Hayward, Steve Cishek.
Yeah. A
couple of those guys.
Rowan Wick.
Yeah, another. Cubs are Cardinals.
Guys, I think it's supposed to say Cubs and Cardinals.
Oh,
I believe this is a meetup.
Guys, we got to 6:30.
This is pretty good.
Before a meetup happened.
This is really good, actually.
The kid's okay.
The Cubs are Cardinals are just under an hour away from first pitch. And we'll talk about the series and the pursuit of first place in the division with Jesse Rogers of ESPN.com. He's next on 101 ESPN. David Kaplan of ESPN 1000 this morning on The Bernie Show here on 101 ESPN. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker in the Fast Lane. And we head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line and Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 at ESPNChicago.com. Kind enough to take some time before the Cards and Cubs get underway. Jesse, always good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
I am great. Great to talk to you, even Chris.
Oh, for the love of God.
I can't even go a second without taking a shot, right?
Let's try to talk some baseball before we start taking shots at one another.
Let's go. First place on the line.
All right. In the bullpen, Cubs are having quite a few issues. I think that, you know, this tends to be a problem with quite a few teams that are trying to get into the playoffs. You see everybody looking for relief help. The Cubs did think they got a pretty good piece in the middle of the summer in Craig Kimbrel. Why hasn't any of this worked out?
Well, that's a good question. They're playing a lot of close games, and especially on the road, they're just not getting over the hump. I know that's not a very sabermetric type answer, right? I don't have a lot more to say about it than they're just coming up a little short. So maybe they're not good enough, or maybe it's just some bad luck and they still have 2 months to get it to turn. This is all on the road. At home, they're fine. But the road woes just continue to pile up on them, especially in close games. I've been very, very critical of Joe Maddon this year, especially over the last couple months, about his bullpen management. I know that's an easy thing to go to, but I haven't done that in 4-plus years of covering Joe Maddon. I think he's done a fine job. But I think he doesn't have the 16 or 17 Cubs, and he needs to manage accordingly. They're not as deep. So you have to be that much more fine with your decision-making, especially in the bullpen. Funny thing is, I like their bullpen arms, yet they continue to blow leads, in part because I think they've been mismanaged. Now, they just added one today, David Phelps, not a big name. But in my world, they don't need upgrades. They just need more of the same. They need more arms so they can rest the ones they have. Cishek, overused. Brandon Kinsler on the verge of being overused. Craig Kimbrel's just getting into form, so that's going to – you know, he's going to have some moments here and there. They haven't really had a good set of lefties. Kyle Ryan's a decent guy They just picked up Derek Collins. So think about this. They're just still figuring out their bullpen this late in the year. 55% save percentage right down there with the Mets. Compare that to the Cardinals, 78% save percentage. That's a huge, huge difference, and it's been a huge problem.
So certainly bullpen is going to be something, like many a teams, and the Cardinals are in this mix, that the Cubs look to acquire. Is there anywhere else do you look at and say, all right, would that be a glaring need? I mean, do they look around and say, you know what, Zobrist, I know he's going out on a rehab, but maybe we look at a second baseman. I mean, where else are the Cubs looking to upgrade?
Well, they would love to pull Dexter Fowler out of your dugout and bring him over and make it the 2016 version and put him at leadoff, because that's what they still miss. They miss a leadoff man. Zobrist leaving hurt them in a big way, and no one, we're 4 months in, no one has emerged as anything close to a real leadoff man. They could just use the quintessential guy that gets on base, that causes problems for the pitcher. I don't care if he hits zero home runs. They need a guy to take some pitches, get on base, and take the attention of that pitcher away and throw some fastballs to Bryant and Rizzo with some speedster on base. Just a classic guy that, you know, we don't talk about anymore. They are missing that element, so they're trying to find that. I don't know if they can do that within a trade. You know, Jarrett Dyson is out there. Eric Sogard would have been nice, at least from the on-base perspective, but he got moved to the Rays. You know, it doesn't sound like Whit Merrifield is going to be moved. That's the type of guy they need. So they're going to have to settle for sort of second tier. But second tier might be better than what they have in-house, so it still could help them.
ESPN Chicago and ESPN 1000 in Chicago's Jesse Rogers with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Jesse, we always hear about the fact that the Cubs have traded so many prospects. If Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer are going to make moves tomorrow, what sort of package are they going to be able to put together?
Well, I mean, you know, they don't have the best farm system. So if they're up against the Rays, for example, for Eric Sogard, the Rays won out. They have a better pool of players for Toronto to pick from. So they are likely to miss out on a few guys if they're up against another team. But I don't think they have to put together the biggest package, because think of the names that are available if, again, like Whit Merrifield isn't. If it's Andrew Chafin of the Diamondbacks or Jarrett Dyson of the Diamondbacks, I don't think these guys – or even Castellanos in Detroit, I don't think these guys are going to cost a ton. So they have enough to get it done. It's just a matter of if they're up against another team with a better farm system, well, then Detroit might say, well, we like this player better. And I don't think the Cubs are going to give up a top prospect for some rental. This is not a Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman situation where one guy might put them over the top. They're just trying to fill some holes. And filling holes doesn't mean you give up your top prospect. So I'm sort of going back and forth. I think they can get what they want because it won't take a top prospect to get a back-end reliever or a bench bat. And, again, I don't think the leadoff men are available out there because guys like Whit Merrifield, it seems like, are off the table.
Jesse, it wouldn't be a trade deadline if we didn't bring up Kyle Schwarber's name. Anything swirling around him?
I don't think so. He just hit a grand slam and a three-run home run in the same game.
It just landed.
And I think that plays. He's up to, what, 23 home runs, 24 home runs, something like that. I don't see why you would trade. Most contenders don't trade from their major league club. There are exceptions. The Cubs traded Mike Montgomery. He didn't have a role here. Kyle Schwarber's your starting left fielder most of the time and has 20-plus home runs. I don't think you subtract that unless you're really adding to a weakness on this team. Let's say Whit Merrifield was available. Okay, then maybe you consider it. But why would anybody want Schwarber a year into arbitration, so what, a couple years left before being a free agent, making $3+ million now? You're a rebuilding team. You don't even want Schwarber. You want a prospect that you can control for 6 years and pay nothing to over the next couple. So I just don't see a fit there. I can't say for sure, but there's just no reason to trade him at this point unless another team really, really wants to make a major leaguer for major leaguer trade.
You mentioned Joe Maddon earlier, and it's been over a season now that people have been more critical of him than they were when he first got to town because he was hugely popular, then he won a World Series. But since then, it's been a little bit contentious, and I know today he made comments about baseball fans not really knowing, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but not really understanding how bullpens work and what goes into it. Is he as unpopular now as he seems? Certainly he is more than he used to be, but it just seems like he is taking a lot more criticism than he used to.
I guess so. I mean, you can't judge everything off of social media. I mean, how many people are out there praising anyone on social media? You know, I know that right? It just doesn't happen. So you can't play off of that. I mean, actually, the majority of Cub fans still consider him the best manager of their life. There's no doubt. He won the World Series. I do think that the most I'll say is, you know, some things do run its course, and maybe this is going to run its course. Not many managers last more than 5 years. Not many, at least in Chicago, last more than 5 years. I think there's been like 3 managers in 100 years, if you can believe that, that have lasted more than 5 years. I mean, it's crazy, but he could go 5-for-5 making the playoffs and not get renewed. I mean, I think it's very telling that he didn't get an extension after going 4-for-4, while Terry Francona, who's won nothing with the Cleveland Indians, got an extension, right? All he's done is failed in the playoffs. Now, granted, the Cubs have a higher payroll and all this stuff, but, you know, a lot of people think that Jed and Theo haven't been fair to him, that it's a lot of it is on them. I think, you know, when you don't make the playoffs or you're underachieved, there's probably enough blame to go around, but ultimately who takes the brunt of it? It's certainly the manager. Nobody's firing Theo Epstein, I don't think. So I think it was very telling he didn't get the extension. And I'm in agreement with a lot of the criticism this year. I think the best way I put it over and over again on my own station in Chicago is he doesn't have the 16 or 17 Cubs, and he needs to manage accordingly. You don't have a juggernaut. It means your decision-making has to be that much more on point. And I don't think it has been as much this year, especially with the bullpen. So that's my feeling, and I suppose a lot of other people feel that way. And look, every year you go further away from the World Series, you're going to lose people, right? You know, until you get back there. So there's a lot on the line for him these last few months, for sure.
What's the disconnect between he and the front office?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think it has to do with the vibe, the feel. I think the best way that I think Jed Hoyer, the general manager, put it at some point when they announced he wasn't getting an extension, they said, on one hand, we believe he's up for this challenge, you know, to sort of rebound from the bad finish of last year. And I think this is the best thing that Jed said is we want the best version of Joe Maddon to show up. I'm not even paraphrasing. That's basically what they said. By quote, we want the best version, meaning like the 15 and 16 version that got this team going, that got them in the right direction. But I think a lot of what we're talking about with the Cubs comes from winning the World Series when they did. It is not easy to go back there. It just isn't. Everybody wants their own. Mike Montgomery is a great, great example. They win the World Series, and from that day forward, Mike Montgomery wants to be a starter. And his attitude is that way. He did the best in 17 to show, you know, to sort of put on a good face. In 18, he got 19 starts. So, okay, maybe this year he wasn't getting any starts. They picked up Cole Hamels' option. So here's Mike Montgomery. His head is not in his role. That may not happen if the Cubs are still chasing that dream of a World Series. So they had to get rid of Mike Montgomery. His head was not into being a Chicago Cub because they couldn't get him they couldn't give him a starting role. So I think a lot of this stems from winning it when they did, and they want Joe to sort of bring it all together again. You know, get them hungry again and pointing in the right direction instead of thinking about themselves and all the things that come with your team after winning. So I think that they feel like if they don't get the best version of Joe and him bringing out the best in the team and making the right decisions, they're going to get someone else that can.
Jesse, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for the time and enjoy your time here.
All right, Chris, you owe me one. Take care.
What in the world?
See you later. Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago and ESPN 1000 in Chicago here on 101 ESPN. We're winding things down with our final segment of the day coming up. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line 65780 because Would You Rather is next on 101 ESPN. All right. We are headed down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. It's time for a game of Would You Rather, and with your Would You Rathers for us, here's Big Sizz.
Guys, would you rather have Gersh by himself making every deal, talking to every team for the Cardinals, or that drunk Doug Armstrong who drank a fifth?
I think I'll go with Gersh, who's qualified. Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. I mean, not that I do think that if you gave Army a fifth, he had to drink it and still pull off some trades. I'm pretty sure he could do what he got to do, but. I mean, he's a hockey guy. Those guys are crazy. But I'll go with Gersh.
I really do like the idea of all the GMs having to be in the room together and be drunk.
It's like a Big Brother GM style.
Yes.
We see everything.
World. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to spin that a little bit. As a GM, would you rather go to the trade deadline and have no booze or no cell phone?
Oh, no booze.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sound decisions. Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Now, as a viewer, what would I rather have them
the
have
booze.
No, no, I'd rather have them have no cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you want them to have the booze. If they're all in a room together and they can't make phone calls and all they have is their stack of papers with whatever information they need.
And their shots lined up in front of them, and every few minutes they have to take one.
Yep. No laptops, by the way. There's no electronic assistance here.
Correct. Can't get the internet, can't look up statistics. All you have is whatever you brought with you. Your preparation.
You've got your media guide knowing which players you have.
That is it.
Under your control.
You have 5 hours. You guys work out the deals you want.
I'll give you three prospects and six schlitzes.
Would be awesome.
Would you rather eat a real, uncooked human arm or lose 80% of every paycheck for a year?
80%?
80%.
Of every paycheck?
Every paycheck.
All right, big human, little human. Where are we at?
It's uncooked. I'm going to go with losing the money.
Maybe it's just like a random arm you find somewhere like on the street.
If you just find an arm, I don't think you're ordinarily going to eat it.
That's not my first thought.
No.
It's an adult arm, right?
Probably.
Okay. Like,
is
we're not
it
getting
bad
too
that I was
twisted
hoping it
here.
Wasn't? I mean, it was going to be smaller.
Yeah.
I'll take the pay cut here just because I don't think I'm going to be able to get through an entire arm.
It'll be like veal.
So tender. I'll go with
God, I feel terrible.
I'll go with the 80%.
What's wrong with you guys?
We're talking about eating babies.
Maybe. Whoa.
I mean,
kids. Never said it.
I am
alluded
it was implied.
Several times.
It was implied.
Didn't Mike Tyson do that? No.
No. Well, he said he would eat your children. Oh, it's different.
Close enough.
Style is impetuous.
Would you rather have to have married your first girlfriend ever, or have your parents choose who you got to marry?
Can I influence my parents?
Nope. They're just their choice.
First girlfriend. My parents would make some really good decisions, I'm pretty sure. My parents really like my wife. Maybe it would have worked out that way. Y'all go with that.
I think I'd... I don't like my mom's taste in women.
Did you like your first girlfriend?
Huh?
Did you like your first girlfriend?
I can't remember who it was now.
Go that direction. Trust yourself.
Yeah, my mom's not really good at picking out women. All right, idiots, just ask the damn question. You're not freaking five.
I'm trying. Would you rather be transported solely by the Headless Horseman or by a monkey on a tricycle?
Horse? By horse?
Headless Horseman can't see.
Yeah, but he knows
where
you are.
He knows where he's going. He holds his head.
Oh, then we're fine. Okay.
Yeah, it's on his head, but he's holding it. Like, he still knows where he's going.
It's kind of weird that somebody could see with a head that's not attached to their
body. He's the Headless Horseman, Randy. He's possessed.
But he knows how to kill you. He'll find
you. I'll go that way then rather than the monkey on the tricycle.
Yeah.
Which would be eminently uncomfortable.
It would be very uncomfortable. Even if like you got to sit in the seat and then maybe the monkey sat on your head or on your lap or something, it's still not going to be comfy.
No.
Would you rather have a one-way trip to the moon or a chance at a retour trip to Mars?
But we could come back from Mars?
Yes.
Yeah, doesn't it take...
I think it takes a long time.
Like months to get there,
and
right?
It's going to be cold. But when you go to the moon, you don't get to come back.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that. I'll go with the chance of a trip back.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do on the moon forever.
Maybe you go like in your final days. You got to
have a bar there or
jump
two,
around.
Right?
Jump around.
Yeah. And then you don't come down. It's a song.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. How long do you think it takes to get to Mars?
Oh, I mean, a couple light years.
300 days.
That's not bad.
No,
that's
not at all.
That's a full year, almost, in space.
Yeah, but think of the scenery, you know?
I mean...
And then returning, it takes another 300, I'm sure.
That's damn near 600.
I don't think it's any
Do you think it's like
quicker.
Traveling to the West Coast, where it's different?
You get the tailwind.
Yeah, where's the tailwind?
Right.
Would you rather get a speeding ticket 10 minutes into an 8-hour drive or in the last 10 minutes of that 8-hour drive?
10 minutes in.
Oh, last 10 minutes for sure.
I agree with that.
Because the first 10 minutes, then I'm going to be going slow the entire way because I'll have concern about another one.
You will not. You won't think about it.
No, for sure I would.
And you're going to be mad the entire time.
I got a ticket when I was driving back to Vegas from St. Louis years ago by one of the airplanes that they judge your speed by plane. Yeah. And then a cop pulled me over. And it was in Missouri somewhere. And I was on like pins and needles the rest of the trip. Yeah, they do that. They pace you in a plane. Like, so they go above and they know how fast you're going via airplane.
Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, I knew about that.
Yeah. I had no, that's news to me.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
No big deal.
What
yeah, the
states
rest of the
do
trip
this?
Sucked.
A lot
Missouri.
Of states. Yeah.
For,
yeah.
For
what?
Show.
There's signs on the highway that say
I have,
it.
I did not know this. Wow. Okay.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780 BT.
Well, it's going to be a battle for sure. Mike Schilt against the Cubbies. How do you feel about Joe Madden?
Ooh,
there you go.
For an older gentleman.
Raj, good to have you back.
Cards and Cubs here tonight. Couldn't be happier to be back, Randy.
Mike Ratter started the day as our board operator. Colin Surrey coming in and taking over. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and as always, being a part of the show. Enjoy the game. And until tomorrow at 3 o'clock, good night, St. Louis.